Parshas Tetzave is usually overlooked because it usually is Truma and Tetzave, and it's usually Parshas Zachar. So very rarely does it get much attention. Rabbanim have a hard job in a leap year. They got to come up with drushes for the off Parshas. Tetzave, Pekudeh, these are like much harder to find the material. But Parshas Tetzave is really a very important lesson, I think, in life for all of us. If you look at Parshas Tetzave, the theme of the Parsha, by and large, is the Kaihanim. It's really the Kehanim's parsha. It's about the Kehanim. It's about the clothing they wear and what they, the details of the clothing that they wear, and then they're being inaugurated. Last week's parsha, the Torah tells us Moshe Rabbeinu takes Aaron and it makes him the Kohen. This is the beginning of Shevet Kehuna. Yet we find, as the Ramban asks and Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz discusses at length in his Sichas Musar, why was Moshe Rabbeinu so involved in these proceedings? Right, this wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's department. This was Aaron HaKohen's department, so this should have been Aaron. We find, for example, in the Menorah, in the beginning of the parasha, it says, bring the oil to Moshe. Why would Moshe have to be involved in the oil? The Menorah was not lit by Moshe Rabbeinu. The name is not mentioned. We'll come back to that also, yeah, the famous Baal HaTurim. Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in the parasha either. But the question is, why did the Menorah connect to Moshe? So the Ramban says, because Moshe Rabbeinu had to sign off if the oil was pure enough. So the Mefarshim asked, no one else could have enough knowledge to know if it's pure or not pure. Aaron HaKohen can be trained to look for pure oil. Says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, we also find that when it comes to the anointing of Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu does it. V'ata ha-krev, Moshe Rabbeinu does it. Asks Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, this should have been, you know, maybe someone else should have done it. Why Moshe Rabbeinu? So he quotes a very famous pasuk in the Tehillim, which we all know of. The pasuk says, Hinei ma'tovim anoyim sheves achim gam yochad. Very famous pasuk. If anyone were to look up the pasuk, in Tehillim Kuf Lamed Gimbal, you'd see the pasuk continues. There's some more words to the pasuk. The pasuk is talking about, it's referencing the anointing. It says when the oil will be smeared on the beard of Aaron. So Chaim Shmuel Levitz asks, what's the two beards? There's only one beard. He says, no. He said that when Moshe Rabbeinu was anointing Aaron, it was as if Moshe was anointing himself. He was so full of joy for his brother's appointment, for his brother's position, it was as if he himself felt that it was happening to him. Therefore, says Chaim Shmuel Levitz, what Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us by being involved in all these procedures was that he was so excited, so happy for his brother's job, he felt as if it was his own simcha. And therefore, says Chaim Shmuel Levitz, it's a lesson in life when others experience simcha. So for most of us, you know, we smile and we're happy, but it doesn't really change our life. You know, I'm happy. You know, you have a simcha, very nice. Says Chaim Shmuel Levitz, no. You're supposed to really feel the simcha. You're supposed to really feel as if it's happening to you. When your friend, your neighbor is having a simcha, you're so moly simcha. You're so full of joy for him as if it's happening to you. However, it's even more of a chiddush over here if you think about it, because it's not just that Aaron got a job and Moshe is happy for his brother. Aaron got Moshe Rabbeinu's job. That position of being the Kohen Gadol was initially Moshe Rabbeinu's. Chazal tells us that was Moshe's job. He was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. He lost the position as a punishment for not wanting to go and lead the Jewish people. So now it's much harder to understand how you can be besimcha for a job that was really yours and now is going to your brother. Says Reb Koppelman, how did he do it? How did Moshe Rabbeinu have the will to just to be so happy for his brother? So he explains, because Moshe Rabbeinu lived his life, that everything that happens to him is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a plan for him not to be the Kohen Gadol. That was also best for him. Because whatever Hashem does for us in our life is only what's best for us. And he explains that for Moshe Rabbeinu, this was a punishment. And it was good for Moshe Rabbeinu to have a punishment. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that. He realized that sometimes in life you have to get the downs. And that can't always be up. Sometimes there's a down. Says Reb Koppelman, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that this was a punishment and he took it in stride. He thought it was great. Therefore, explains Reb Koppelman, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu was able to rejoice for his brother's accomplishment, as if it was his own accomplishment, without any negative feelings towards the fact that he lost out on this position. But we find that the same thing is with Aaron. Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz points out as well, Aaron was leading in Mitzrayim before Moshe Rabbeinu came to town. Aaron was running the show in Mitzrayim. He was right under Amram, his father. He was the man, so to say. What happens? Moshe Rabbeinu comes to town, the younger brother, who has not been around for all these years, and all of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu becomes the top gun. Says the Medrash, you would think Aaron HaKohen would be somewhat upset about this. He'd be a little upset, he'd be distraught, jealous. So the Medrash says, absolutely not. Aaron was thrilled to hear that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to lead it. Says the Medrash, that's why Aaron was zoicha to wear the Urim V'tumim on his chest. What's the connection? Because what does the Urim V'tumim represent? All the Shvatim, that we all make up one great Klal Yisrael. Aaron and both Moshe never looked at themselves as it's about me. How can I be great? How can I get a better job? It's about what can I do to serve Klal Yisrael. So Aaron said, if my job to serve Klal Yisrael is to be second in command, I'll be second in command. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, if it's my job not to be second in command, that's it. Because they didn't live for themselves, they lived for being part of Klal Yisrael. Today we all live for ourselves. We want to be the greatest, we want to be the best, so we always want to keep on moving ourselves up in the ranking. That's right. That's correct. Exactly. That's exactly. That's what it's all about. Once you start realizing that you're just here to fill a job, so you no longer get so upset. You know, if you understand your position is this, so you don't have a desire for another position. This is what I'm made for. This is what I'm here for. And perhaps even more than that, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was not in this week's parsha. Baal Turim quotes, they say in the Zohar, that we know Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not found in all Parshas Tzav. Many Pshatim given. I saw Rabbi Friend in one of his more recent books says over a Pshat that perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to himself, I don't want to share the spotlight with my brother. This is Aaron's time. I'm going to actually step out of the Parsha. I'm not even going to be in the Parsha at all. I'm going to completely step out of Parshas Tzav to allow my brother to have all the focus, all the mention is all about him. I'm not even going to be here in the Parsha. Which is an unbelievable thing. It means even though Moshe was excited for his brother and he was happy for his brother, he didn't want to perhaps take away a little bit of his limelight. He decided to step out and give the entire parasha to Aaron. So that's maybe why we always read parashas Tzav in Adar. Adar Aleph, Adar Beis is a question. When do you say Mishnech Lasadar Marba Mesimcha? Whichever month it is, we all have to understand what does it mean to be Mishnech Lasadar. It doesn't just mean just be happy and feel good. Simcha means A, you feel someone else's simcha, and B, sometimes you have to step back for someone else's simcha. And in order for them to be the focus, you have to sometimes step back. This is hard for people. We always love to be the focus of attention. Sometimes, when you really want someone else to be besimcha, it requires us to take a bit of a step back and allow them to be the focal point of the simcha. And maybe that's why we always read parashas Tetzave, and Adar Aleph, or Adar Beis. There's a big shaila whether or not we say Mishnech Tetzave Marim Besimcha Bechlal. We've spoken about this many times. There's a famous Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara says, "Kishem shenichnas ador av mematz b'simcha, kishem shenichnas ador marb b'simcha." The problem is you're not going to find that in any of the Rishonim. Not the Rambam, not the Riff, not the Rosh. None of the Rishonim bring it down. It's not even in Shulchan Aruch. The earliest time you're going to find the din of Mishnechas Adam Arba Simcha is in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and other, you know, later 1700s, 1800s. So there's a big discussion if we even pass an Alach Lamaisa like that. But there's another question if it's an Adar Aleph or it's an Adar Beis. So there's a famous Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Sefer where he brings a Rai from a Rashi in Megillah. Rashi in Tainus says Mishnechnas Adar Arba Simcha. Chazak Rashi, Yimei Nisim Hoyu Li Yisrael Kippurim VePesach. That's the lotion of Rashi. So says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, what does Pesach have to do with this? We're talking about Adar. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden's Bedaik, it's only the Adar HaSomach LePesach, which is Adar based. That's Rabbi Yaakov Emden's opinion. They quote from Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky that he doesn't think it's such a diuk, and he thinks Mishnechus Adar Mar B'Simcha is an Adar Alephos. That's his ruling. I think his father-in-law, Rabbi Eliashiv, disagreed. Okay, so it's a machlokes, which Adar is the real Adar for Mishnechus Adar Mar B'Simcha. It's not so negated too much, because they once asked Rabbi Shammah Zalman, what does Mishnechus Adar Mar B'Simcha mean? So he says, just, you learn more Torah. That's Simcha. No more tire. It's not what Yeshiva Bachim want to hear, maybe, but that's all it means. It doesn't mean you get drunk, it doesn't mean you drink, it doesn't mean you do anything fun. You learn more tire, what more fun is there? So, whatever Pshad Mishnech Tzadim Arab Mesimcha really means, perhaps it's Dafkan Parashat Tzadim, because in Parashat Tzadim is the time when we learn what exactly is, what's real joy. To feel someone else's Simcha, to feel as if it's your Simcha, and sometimes step back, which is often very difficult to do when you're trying to feel the Simcha. That's the godless of what both Moshe and Aaron did. The other theme of the parasha is the big day kahuna. The big day kahuna is a big theme. My son asked me on Friday, he said, did the Kohen Gadol wear tzitzis? Pretty good question. Did the Kohen Gadol wear tzitzis? So the shaila is, the me'il, was it dalet al dalet? Seems to be a machlokes rishonim if the me'il was dalet al dalet. Now the truth is, even if the me'il was dalet al dalet, he was still potter from tzitzis, because we learned in the Gemara that a beggar that doesn't belong to you is not chayv in tzitzis. The big day kahuna didn't belong to the Kohen Gadol. That didn't belong. It was our money. It was a beggar shaul. So many achreidim suggest that even if it was dalet al dalet, the Kohen Gadol was still potter from tzitzis because it was a beggar shaula. It wasn't his own beggar. But the highlight of the me'il was its bells and its pamoin v'rimoin on the bottom on the end of the me'il. So why exactly did it have these bells? So the simple pshat is because this way, when he's going to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would be announced. The malachim that were in the Kodesh HaKadoshim would be ready for him when he comes in. So they say over an unbelievable ma'isa with Rav Shlomo Zalman, there was a lady, Nebuch lost her husband, and she has small children at home. She came to him, Shama Zalman, and she asked him, what can I do for an aliyah for my husband's neshama? I want to, what should I do to bring spirituality through my husband's passing? Should I donate a building? Should I put a plaque up? Should I do this? So Shama Zalman told her, take your kids out for pizza and for ice cream and go buy them toys. So they looked at Shama Zalman, you know, I was looking for something spiritual over here. I'm going to support Torah. Shama Zalman said, you see from this week's parasha how to behave. Why? Says Ibn Shlomo Zalman, what does it say in the Torah? That the Kohen Gadol had to wear the bells. This way when he comes in, he should be announced. What's the pshat? Says Ibn Shlomo Zalman, very often when we're very caught up in spirituality, we lose sight of being courteous. Right? You think, I'm the Kohen Gadol, right? I can just stroll whenever I want. I'm the Fnai Lufnim Yom Kippur. I need permission from the Malachim that are in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Says the Torah, yeah, you can't just come unannounced. So Ibn Shlomo Zalman said here also, I know you want to do wonderful things for your husband's aliyah, neshama. You want to be very spiritual. Just think simple. Be courteous. The kids need ice cream, the kids need pizza, and the kids need to feel like they're living a regular life. Don't, you know, give the money to them. That was Ibn Shlomo Zalman's lesson from the Parsha. That from the fact that the Kohen Gadol had to wear the bells and announce himself when he came into the Lufnai Lufnim, is supposed to teach us that always be courteous, even if you're, very often people are very caught up in spirituality. You know, the guy's running to shul and he'll knock over three people to go to shul. And misses the whole boat. It's very nice that you want to be spiritual, but that doesn't give you the right to not be a courteous person. You have to be a nice person, you have to follow Derech Eretz just because you want spirituality. So to the Kohen Gadol, he had to wear the bells to allow everyone to know that he was coming in. Chavetz Chaim points out it was a pamoin v'rimoin. So one thing made noise and one thing was quiet. Why? Says the Chavetz Chaim, because sometimes you have to talk for Torah and for Tefillah. The rest of the time you're supposed to be quiet. We know the Me'il was supposed to be a kapar for Lashon Hara. So therefore, says the Chavetz Chaim, sometimes to talk, and the rest of the time you should be quiet. You know, we have mute buttons for a reason. You're supposed to talk. When you're not talking Torah, you're not talking about the Tefillah, then the button should be mute and then there shouldn't be any talking. That was the lesson of the Me'il. The tzitz, very quickly, the tzitz, the Gemara says, represented Azus. The tzitz was there to represent when we're very brazen people. Klal Yisrael often can be very brazen people, believe it or not. And we do often things that are pretty tough. So Zaktich Sam Sefer, beautiful idea. What did it say on the tzitz? It said, Kodesh Lashem. When is it okay to be a brazen person? If it's Kodesh Lashem. If you're doing it for spirituality, if your brazenness is because I'm sticking to my guns and I'm not going to be with Chalal Shabbos and I'm not going to eat my Chalos Asuris, that's okay. But if your brazenness is over who's going to get the parking spot and who's going to get the table and it's not spirituality, then it's not correct. Azus is not right when it's not Kodesh LaHashem. When a person has Azus just for the sake of, oh, I need to be right and I have to prove to you I'm better, that's wrong. But Azus LaHashem, Kodesh LaHashem, that type of Azus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes, when a person sticks to his guns, and we spoke about this maybe perhaps last week with Atzi Shittim. The Medrash said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't ever want to create Atzi Shittim, because Shittim is tough. We don't want to be a tough nation. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make Atzi Shittim? For the Mishkan. When it comes to spirituality, you have to be tough. You have to hold your ground. You can't allow people to push you around. Oh, it's okay, you could do this. This is mutter, that is mutter. No. Person has to hold his grounds when it comes to something like spirituality. That's the same word from the Chassam Sofer, that the tzitz was Kodesh Lasha. Okay, we left off over here in the Gemara. We're trying to figure out why can't a milah take place on Shabbos without the Gzeres HaKasim. Meaning, it's mavor in the Gemara that the only reason why milah is Deicha Shabbos, I'm not talking about Machshirin, the actual cutting is Deicha Shabbos because we have a Pasuk. So the question is, what would have been without the Pasuk? So the assumption would have been without the Pasuk, milah would be prohibited on Shabbos. Why would milah have been prohibited on Shabbos? So we're just very bekitzer, we started talking about this last week. We have a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuvav. The Gemara writes, Zakhtri Pshimin, Pshimin said, Mide'itzach krol le mishre mila, from the fact that the Gemara needed to exerce a kasset per mila b'shabbis, ha'choyva ba'al mechayv. I learned from here that any other time where you give a wound to another person, that's a violation of Shabbos. That's called the Isser of Chavala. Now, what Isser is Chavala? So there's a Rashi number 2 in the beginning of the 14th parak of Shabbos, Shema Nishratz. And the Mishnah over there is talking about when you damage animals. Animals that have skin versus animals that don't have a skin. So Rashi writes over there, why are you chayiv if you chayvel on animals? So Rashi writes, the yesh lahem or they have skin, can be farsh be gemara, v'havile chaburu she'en chazeres, and it's a black and blue mark that will not return, v'havile toldo de sheichet. So the first part of Rashi, when you give someone a bruise, that would be a violation of sheichet. Sheichet is one of the 39 malachas. Shechita, it's killing. Normally we assume shechita means to kill someone, but Taisus and Shabbos spoke out that every single time you take away some of the blood, some of it is dying. Therefore, every time you cause blood to leave, that would be a violation of sheichet. So if you would give a milah to a baby, that would violate sheichet. Then he quotes another pshat, lishnachrina, kivin yesh lahem or nitzpa ha'or bedam ha'nitzrar boy, dechayiv mishum tzivei. Rashi's second pshat is no. That what happens is that causes the skin to change color. This is more likely by a black and blue mark, where you cause the blood to rise to the top of the skin. It causes a change in the skin, and that's seveya. That's Rashi's second pshat. So we mentioned already last week that Rishayim have a kash on this pshat, because what's Soveya going to be by Mila? There's no changing of the skin. So we said that perhaps when it comes to some Sofer suggests this, that even Rashi, when Rashi talks about Soveya, that's only talking about a case where there's no blood actually coming out. I mean, there's two types of wounds. There's a chavolo of a black and blue mark. Then there's a chavolo where the person's bleeding. So when did Rashi say it's shaychit? That's when there's actually blood that comes out. He breaks the skin. That's going to be shaychit. But if the blood never comes through, it's just pooled on top of the skin, that's not going to be tzeveya. So according to Rashi, it's not the pshat, it's two different pshatim. It's two different cases of chavolo. There could be a chavolo where it breaks through the skin. There could be a chavolo that doesn't break through the skin. That's l'chayra, one way of learning Rashi. But most... Yeah, so we're going to talk about why exactly you want the blood to come out. We're going to hopefully talk about it a little bit more. But according to Rashi, the assumption in Rashi is that the reason why you're not allowed to make a chavol on Shabbos, it would be sheikh. Okay, so this is where we got into a little bit last week. There's a Shita Mekubetzes in Ksubas Daf Hamed Beis, where the Shita Mekubetzes makes the following statement. Everyone's trying to figure out what would have been usher to do Mila B'Shabbos. So the assumption would have been that what would have been usher is the blood. Says the Shita Mekubetzes, not so. The blood is not the problem. And he writes like this. It's not a raya because I don't need a pasuk because of the blood. The reason why I need a cost to permit meal on Shabbos is not because of the bleeding. The bleeding I can get around with. So why did the Torah have to write a B'yom HaShemini? Because of the detaching of the skin, the chayiv mishum toilish. Because that would be a different malacha, the malacha of toilish. Now, which malacha is toilish? So it's a machloikis, the Menachas Chinuch and others. Does he mean goizes, shearing, or does he mean koitzer? We have two separate malachas. Goizes is shearing wool. That's the malacha of goizes. And koitzer is detaching. Let's say, for example, you go over to a tree and you rip it out of the ground. That would be the malacha of koitzer. When you're detaching something from its source of nutrients, that's the malacha of koitzer. So what did the Shita Mekubetzes mean over here?
Just picking a fruit. No?
Picking a fruit would also be koitzer, right? That would also be, again, because it's getting its nutrients from that source. Now, the Shita Mekubetzes is not clear what he means. We'll see that later, Achrayim, we're also mesupak what exactly he means. But this is an interesting idea, that the Shita Mekubetzes suggests that the malach involved is the cutting of that little orla, that little foreskin that's attached to the body. When you cut it off, that would either be kaitzer, it would be the equivalent of ripping something out of the ground, or it would be like cutting off here. Now, that's obviously, to simple understanding, is very difficult, because why should it be like that? So we'll see the Achrayim discuss how to explain it. But this is a third possibility. And the reason why Mila is also on Shabbos is not Sheikhid, it's not Seveya, but it either be Geizes or Keitzer.
How is that then? Roshim wants to generalize to all of Kabbalah.
That's right.
Based on Mila, so how would it be generalized?
The Fidus, it wouldn't work. And Echanami. It wouldn't be able to go back into Reb Shimon. That's true. The Dvar Avram, the Covenant Rav, mentioned many times from the Covenant Rav, right? He wrote Shalos and Chuvas as a Rav, but we usually use them not so much Halacha L'maisa, we usually use them much more in Lomdus. But in Eder, hopefully by next week we'll get to his famous Shaila about Mila Bezmane versus Mila Shal Bezmane, which one goes first. That's perhaps Nagi Halacha L'maisa. But here the Dvar Rav has a piece on this comment where he writes, on his Daiti Tmur Ma'oid, Lodim B'Mila Mishum Geiz Aikait, Taina the Dvar Rav, it's very difficult to understand the Shittim Kobetis. Either version, let's say you learn it means Geizes, or it means kaitzer. Whichever way you want to learn the Shita Mekubetzes, says the Dvar Rav, it's very difficult to understand. The L'chayra, Svar Nisenis, they n'chiv goizes v'kaitzer el, b'sha goizes v'kaitzer me'ezek guf dover, she'ena cholik mimenu, elot se'meyach mimenu. Says the Dvar Rav, and Rabbi Shavai has the same comment in the Sefer Menchas Asher and Pashas Tazria, he says, let's think about these two malachas. What's goizes? You're sharing wool. Let's think, well, what's wool? What's here? Well, how do you look at these things? These things are something that grows on the body, on the animal or on the body. What's kaitzer? Kaitzer is you have an animal, you have a fruit, you have a growth on some type of land, and you pull it off the land. So he says, oh, those cases, usar, utfus, upeirishem, nitzmochem, me'oisaguf, they are getting their nutrients from that body, ha'oimdim likotzis, which with the intention or the plan of eventually being detached. Avotoilish katicha, v'cholik me'ezaguf. Let's say you rip off a body part, right? Rip off a guy's arm. Umaktina, dovishem, oim likotzis, klal. It's never planned to be detached. We don't, again, hair is normally cut off, wool is normally cut off, fruits are normally cut off. These things are all immediately cut. They all have a plan of eventually being detached. So which means we... Oh, okay, good. That's a kasha. That's what Rosh Hashanah says. Why the Dvar Rav doesn't think like that, I'm not sure. I don't know why he doesn't look at the Arla as something which is Asid Lachatos. It's only Asid Lachatos because you have a mitzvah. I think that might be the difference. We'll see. Rabbi Shmuel says, the oil is also Asa L'chatos. That's the plan. Because Baruch Hu said, I have this little skin, I want you to cut it off also. I'm guessing that Dvar Rav is assuming that's a mitzvah. I mean, without Judaism, you have no reason to push it off. Meaning bishlamba, the hair and the wool, that everyone does. This is a Jewish thing, right? Geisha babies, until they found statistics and medical reports that it's better, they never left it on. They always left it on. Maybe. But he clearly is not going with that assumption. He writes. That might also be true. That might also be true. Again, I'm not so sure if that's going to affect...
Nowadays, they use that also to grow skin.
Right, but I don't know if that's necessarily going to define the melacha.
So there may be melacha
change. Right, that's what we're going to talk about a little bit more. Melacha change, I'm trying not to get into it. Yeah, we might have to get into it. Yeah, we're going to try to get to it. But listen to this, Rav Rami writes, Avo toilish chaticha v'cholik me'ezeh guf u'makatini yodovish en oimi dekotis kol v'shach be'i goizis v'koitzer. She'eni goizis me'al ha'guf el toilish is ikra guf atzmai. He says, you're just taking off the body. Koitzer is taking off a secondary thing, or Geizer is taking off a secondary thing. Here you're taking off the thing itself. Says the Rambam, think about it yourself. Hamashit or behema. Let's say you skin an animal. If you rip off the animal's skin, that's Geizer? Of course it's not Geizer. It's connected. Thank you. It's connected to the animal. Not everything that's connected constitutes Geizer. So he writes, "Imkay b'mila nami kasha, eich dinau hashitu mukubetzes ki goizis a koitzer umadumi hi l'sa'ar v'tziparnov." Taina the Dvarim, I don't understand how you're comparing taking off a fingernail, taking off hair, to taking off the arla. It's totally apples and oranges. It would be like a guy cuts off part of it, a guy chops off half a hand. Oh, goizis. It's not goizis. That's the thing itself. That's the body part itself. The person detaches the body part. No one's going to say it's goizis. No one's going to say it's koitzer. So Taina the Dvarim here also. Right, might be different, sir. So Taina the Dvarim, he doesn't understand the Shittim Mukubetz. Okay, well, most of the Achroinim don't speak too much about the Shittim Mukubetz. I figured we'll just mention it. In the Sefer Minchas Chen, written by Abneich Isaac Obaum, a Rav in Kew Gardens Hills, so he has a Sefer over here where he brings up an interesting point, that there's one milo you have with the Shittim Mukubetzes is Pshat. Putting aside all his kashes, which there are, he says there's a nice chap to the Shittim Mukubetzes. What is that? He writes like this. The Gemara says later on in Shabbos, number 5, Zakhtu Abneich Isaac, he writes, the Gemara says, the Mila Shloi Bezmanoi is not Doichi Yom Tov. Person is doing a mila shalei bismanoi. It's not day 8. You can't do it on Yom Tov. Why? Gemara says because Yom Tov is an asay and a loisa asay, and an asay can't be daicha and an asay and a loisa asay. That's what the Gemara says. So frek the acharedim. He says va'amayloi shayim mitam mitoich. Why can you say mitoich? Mitoich shehutar iser chayvel. Oy nitzilas neshama b'shchita. Right. Whatever you're allowed to shecht on Yom Tov, I shechting is sheichit literally. Teretz says it's mutter. So frek the acharedim. Why don't we say mitoich? Gevaldik akasha. So he writes, "V'chipashti matzasi b'sefer melechas yamtiv shama bezeh, because of the asher al nachan al pi yishidim mukubetzes." This is all. This whole kash is only because you're assuming the violation of a mila is shaychit. So if the violation of the mila is shaychit, so then you have a good kasha. Say mitoich. But Tanya Rabbi Obam, what are you talking about? If you go like the yishidim mukubetzes, that the iser mila is goyz is a kaitzer, there's no mitoich on those two melechas.
Why you can't take fruit on yamtiv in order to?
No, only shchita and bishul. So they've zogged him. It's beautiful. So there is a mile of learning like the Shittim Mukubetzes. So even though in Lomdus, the Dvar Avram has a difficult time understanding it, which is difficult, nonetheless, says Rabbi Obam, there's a gavaldik achap by learning like the Shittim Mukubetzes. If you were to learn like the Shittim Mukubetzes, you'd be able to answer the kasha, why is Milush Lebezmane, not doich yomtiv under the principle of mitoich, because there's no mitoich unless it's the malach of sheichin, and according to the Shittim Mukubetzes, it's the malach of gaizis. A nice shtickle Torah. One last option, which is also widely not accepted, but we'll just mention it, Rabbi Asher Weiss discusses it.
Maybe
it's
not enough of the
Tzorach
Yantav. Could be. So you wouldn't even say Mito. You say
Lo Tzorach Ma. What is it? Okay. So we need to talk more. This is what I hope to get to one of these days. Is the Milo Shlo, what's the status of Milo Shlo Bezmanet? B'li Nedar. Hopefully next week, if not the following week, we'll get into it. Last sheet of the Rishayin before we get into...
Is that the Milo that's been delayed in Bezmanet by definition?
So no.
If I can't do it on the eighth day, I have a chiyuv to do it every second.
So that's what we're going to talk about. That's a big shaila. B'li Neder, we'll hopefully get to that by next week. The last sheet is Rishonim, which is not talked about too much, which I found also in Rabbi Asher Weiss, is a Rabbeinu Chananel. Fascinating Rabbeinu Chananel. He writes, number 6, Mitoch Divrei Rabbeinu Chananel Mashma, Dahamol B'Shabbos Yesh M'Shemakke B'Patish. Gevaldik. You know why Milo's also on Shabbos? It's Makke B'Patish. The fisha oral also betruma b'kachim, because an oral can't do anything. Therefore, it's makav patish. So we have two. We'll call them the offbeat opinions in Rishonim. Either it's goizes or kaitzes shidmu kubetzes, or you have this Rabbeinu Chananel that held it's makav patish. Again, even Rabbi Asher Weiss doesn't go into it too much. We'll bring that to return when we get to a Gemara in the end. Hopefully, at some point that is going to make problems with these pshatim. But these are the two The three pshatim we saw so far in the Rishayim is Sheichet, Makbapatish, or it's going to be Gezid V'Kaitzer.
Even now the Gemara says Chovel.
Right, the Gemara just calls it Chovel. The Gemara says the violation is Chovel. No, he's explaining when, right, this type of Chavala. Again, you can't learn this to all Chavala, right? If a guy beats up another guy on Shabbos, that's not Makbapatish. When you do it to a baby, then it's Makbapatish. It's not going to be across all lines.
Now that's for,
would
it be only for a
Gezel?
What Chiev does a cut and have in Karbanos or whatever you're referring to? No, as if it's a 13-year-old boy.
And you're saying when he's only a baby.
He
and what tikkun are you doing now?
No, so his father's a kohen. He wants to give him truma.
You know. Right, that'd be only true if he's a kohen.
They don't need that.
Ephemeral.
Truma dick. Can imagine the price on that. Wow. Chav Yisrael one's already so pricey. I can only imagine.
The bar Avraham, yeah. he holds that taking off the orla is similar to kotzes, or he's holding that it's momish, like you were cutting off.
No, he looks at it, when you're cutting off a piece of skin, it's the same thing as cutting off a tree from an apple from the tree. Even though, again, one could argue that that piece of skin is not really getting its nutrients from the body; it's really part of the body, as opposed to a tree is a secondary to the tree, to the apple. Yeah, that's definitely true. I don't know if it means that it's getting its nutrients. Now let's talk about the Rambam Shita. Okay, after we got through all the less discussed Shita, we'll talk about the Rambam Shita. Dr. Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos. Achoy levesa behema. Someone who milks an animal. If anyone owns a farm, you got to know what to do with your animals on Shabbos. So if you have a farm, you're not allowed to milk your animal on Shabbos. Chay mishem mefarik. It's mefarik. What's mefarik? So mefarik is assumed to be a malacha of dosh. What's the malach of dosh? Dosh is separating the wheat. When they would winnow it, they would break apart the two things, and you'd have the good from the bad. It's a form of bayir. The Gemara discusses why isn't it bayir proper, but the Gemara calls it the malach of dosh. V'chein ha-choyvel. Zog d'ram, so too when you damage someone. B'chay, if the person's live, sheyesh la'or, and they have skin, chay, mishum mefarik. You're also violating dosh. V'hu? It has to be that you need the blood that comes out. It can't just be that you beat up the guy because you don't like him. It has to be that you want the blood to come out. If you just want to hurt him, potter. Because that's just a destructive act. How much has to come out, Dr. Rambam? You have to have at least a gregaris. How much is a gregaris? A dried date. How much is that? I'm not sure. But that's what a gregaris is. So according to the Rambam Shita, when a person nurses either an animal or a human being, this is a big shayla, halacha lemaisa, if someone has to pump on Shabbos the milk, they have to get rid of the milk. They have to throw it out because it would be a violation of dosh. If the baby nurses it straight, that's not a problem. But if, let's say, for example, very often with new mothers or if the mother has a condition, so the mother wants to keep on pumping because she doesn't want to lose that, but she can't give the milk to the baby. So what she should do is she should put a little bit of soap in the bottle. And this way, the moment the milk hits the bottle, it really becomes nifsal. And this way, she wouldn't be in a violation of dosh. That's a little bit halach lamais. But if you're nursing a baby directly, that doesn't present a problem. But if you're going to nurse an animal, that's going to be a problem. What malach are you over? So according to the Rambam, you're in violating of dosh. Okay. Now, according to the Rambam, every time you beat someone up, you're over dosh. That's a chayvel. A chayvel when you need the dam. Now again, when you do the meal, you do need the dam somewhere because you need the dam to come out. And you drew blood, right. According to him, if there's no blood, just black and blues, if you're good at how you beat people up, according to Rambam, you won't be in violation. You might be in violation according to Rashi, of Tseveya. According to the Rambam, unless the blood comes through. And also, how much blood needs to come out? You got to do a doozy on the guy. It's got to get enough of a dry date. I don't know exactly how much that is, but according to him, it's not just a little bit. You got to really beat him up well to make sure, from a guy who wants to be machmir to get the right punishment, so he doesn't want any games, so he's going to beat the guy up good and well. That's this way, that's right, we'll get to Chatzis Shir today. We'll talk about what? Okay, we'll talk about that in a second. What exactly? Pash is potter avaloser, but still listen, right? This guy doesn't worry about his sermon. He only worries about Einshim. He's a real from a guy. Okay, so that's the Rambam Sheet. Now, the truth is, there's a Gemara that we need to discuss. The Gemara says in number 8 in Shabbos, Choylev, the Gemara says, if you milk an animal, Chayiv Mishum Mefarik. You chayiv because of Mefarik. Well, what's Mefarik? So Tosfos writes over here, number 9 in the Gemara, Pirish Bekuntrit, Mishum Dosh, Kidi Pirish Bekuntrit. Rashi says that Mefarik is a tolda of Dosh. It's only one problem. The Gemara has a comment, Ein disha elo bigdu de karka. You can only violate dosh if the thing you're doing it to is something that grows from the ground. Now, what's the status of an animal? Does an animal grow from the ground? Yes. It gets nutrients from the ground. It doesn't grow from the ground. Animals grow in the farms, wherever they grow. Right? But kids still think that meat comes from the grocery store. That's how you get a Some politicians think that also, okay? But today we know they come from the farms, right? That's how you get animals. The animals, they're in the farm. But where do they grow? They grow from the ground? No, they get their nutrients from the ground. They eat the grass. Do they really grow from the ground? So Tosfos is bothered with a kasha. How can milking be dosh if the Gemara has a comment? The Gemara has a brisa that ain't dish el budule karka. So Tosfos gives an answer that this Gemara is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Who's Rabbi Yehuda? Says Tosfos. Says Tosfos, not such a kasha. Rashi will tell you that yes, every single time you nurse, you milk an animal, it's dosh. I ain't disha b'gdule karka. No, we hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds yesh disha shaloi b'gdule karka. So it's not a problem. So when you milk a cow or lady nurses, it could be dosh, even though the lady and the cow is not b'gdule karka, because we paskin that yesh disha shaloi b'gdule karka. There's only one problem. That's not how the Rambam paskins. Now we're talking about the Rambam. The Rambam said when every time you milk, it's mefarik, and mefarik is a told of dosh. But the problem is, if you look at number 10, the Rambam writes, Hadosh ki gregeres, chayiv. If a person does dosh, the size of a gregeres, he's chayiv. The edisha ela b'gdule karka. We only violate dosh if it's from b'gdule karka. So in Rashi and Taisus, we were able to say that they hold like Rabbi Yehuda. But the Rambam tells us before, she passes like the Rabbanan, that ein disha ela b'gdule karka. So how could the Rambam write in the halacha afterwards that every single time you milk a cow and you beat someone up and blood comes out, it's dosh? What dosh? Ein disha ela b'gdule karka. So Zok the Magid Mishnah, what are you going to have to answer? Yeah, that animals and people are considered gedulei karka. Now for animals, it's a little bit easier. They eat the grass. For people, a little harder to understand how we're gedulei karka. But says the Magid Mishnah in a very, very small print, he writes, he says, Va'af al-pi she'ein disha ela gedulei karka, zehu davka l'mayit chalozen. When the Gemara has a comment that ein disha ela gedulei karka, it doesn't mean you actually have to grow from the ground. It just came to exclude fish. The fish that grow in the ocean, but animals, they are called gedulei karka. And you're going to have to say somehow humans also, because the Rambam talked about humans also. Somehow humans are also considered gedulei karka. So we have machlokes rishonim. According to Rashi and Tosfos, animals are not gedulei karka. Because if Tosfos and Rashi held animals are gedulei karka, why do you have to back himself into the wall and say we're going according to Yehuda? Tosfos could have just answered Pashit. We hold that animals and humans are gedulei karka. Elamai, Tosfos and Rashi held not like that. They held animals and humans are not gedulei karka. So how do you explain that it's dosh? There it is, we call that kibihuta, that holds, you don't have to be gedulei karka. But according to the Magid Mishnah's learning of the Rambam, we have much more of a broader interpretation. That when the Gemara said, ein disha ela gedulei karka, it didn't mean you have to grow from the ground, it means just not fish. Fish are the worst. Anything that's better than fish is okay.
And it can't be because other was made from Afar and Mayim, so therefore that was the first person. And
that might be the answer. That might be why it is considered gedulei karka. Yeah. That might be pshat in the Magid Mishnah. But here's the other shayla. What needs to be gedulei karka? The thing you're separating, or the thing it's being separated from, right? What are we doing over here? You're taking a milk from an animal. The milk is definitely not gedulei karka. The animal might be gedulei karka, but what needs to be gedulei karka? Is it the thing you're separating, or the thing you're detaching it from?
Source.
What has to be the gedulei karka? So if you look in the Sefer Iglei Tal, as does the Prima Gadim discuss, they declare this for chakira. He writes, Yesh lachar b'zeh shnei chakiras. I have two chakiras. Ha'echad. Is it tali in the oichel that the thing that you're taking it from? Or is it the thing you're taking, meaning the first side is what I'm taking out. Like in our case, that would be the milk. Is that what needs to be gedulei karka? Or is the...
Isn't the milk certainly, if it's from the animal or whatever, it has to be considered?
I'm not so sure, you know. I would look at the milk as gedulei karka. I would look at the milk as it's being stored in the animal's body. That's the way I would look at it. Storage. Okay. So that might depend on how you understand why the animal is gedulei karka. The Maisa, the Prima Gadim, and the Iglei Tal both come out on Maisa that they think as long as the thing came from gedulei karka, that's good enough. So here also, the milk came from the animal, animal's gedulei karka, we're good to go. Fine. So now it makes somewhat sense. But now we got a problem over here. So the Sefer Shvisa Shabbos quotes from Rabbi Avram ben Arambam, because we have a kasha. Pashup shot, according to the Rambam, if the Rambam holds ein disha ela b'gdule karka, how could the Rambam then in turn hold that every single time you milk or you beat someone up, it's dosh? Animal, humans are not g'dule karka. So the Magid Mishnah said, humans are. Says Rabbi Avram ben Arambam, the Rambam's son, he says, I have a better pshat. Gevaldik alumnus, he writes like this. Number 13 says, Midikaimlan ein disha el budule karka. Although we have a principle in halacha ein disha el budule karka, ein ro olimishi yov in inyan ha'avu min yonavit toldosoy lakshasa klal. Anyone who knows anything about what's avos and toldos in Shabbos, right? We know in the malachas Shabbos they split between something that's an av and something that's called a toldo. Says Rav Avraham and Aram, if you know anything, you realize afa pishi shedoyim el av, even though every toldo is similar to the av, loy av loy me'ein av. They're not going to be exactly, and they're not even going to be so similar. Ela hefish yesh b'neim. There's always going to be a difference between the av and the toldo. V'sha'amet v'ha'mefarik hu ha'dosh. You keep on telling me that mefarik is a toldo of dosh, so it has to have the same rules of dosh. Not so. Einoy kein. Ela, mefarik toldo the dosh. When you do mefarik, that's a toldo of dosh. She'ein loy m'shaschita la'novim ay'chaliv al'izim disha. When you milk a cow, you squeeze a grape, and you take the juice out, that's not exactly dosh. For the olas al das adam, no one's going to think that. Av mishachibe mishem mefarik, the hoyle mefarik told the dosh. Ein lahakshes mit the kaimel and indisha el bedule karka. Hadisha shi av the ein av ein el bedule karka. The mefarik shi told the dosh. Yes, the bedule karka shlo bedule karka. An unbelievable chiddush. If an achrim would say this, he'd be thrown out. Zokter b'avram ben aram b'gevald gechiddush that an av and a told have different rules. The av is only bedule karka. The told is by both. Gevald gechiddush. Says Rav Avraham and Rambam, it's not a kasha, my father. What was the kasha? The Rambam writes that in the malach of mefarik, in the malach of dosh, ain disha ela buduli karka. So we assumed that's not just for the av, that's for the tolda as well, like mefarik. And then we had a kasha. How do you learn the next Rambam where mefarik is discussing when you take blood out or when you milk something? Says Rav Avraham and Rambam, it's not a kasha because my father held, or you can say that when is ain dosh ela buduli karka? That's when you're discussing on the av level. Dosh on the av level. But if you wanted to talk about like mefarik, which is extracting, that could be done by both Geduli Karaka and not Geduli Karaka. So it's not a kasha and the Rambam. What's the lumdus? Why would one draw such a distinction? So if you look over in a sefer called Ateres Shmuel, it's written by a fellow named Reb Shmuel Rosenbaum. I think he's a Reish Chabur in Lakewood. He wrote a lot of Geshmaka Svarim on the Mesechtas that are not usually learned. I think he's probably a second Seder Reish Chabur, where they learned the off-the-beaten-path prakim that you don't cover in a shir. So he did us a favor, and he wrote down different sugyas. So he writes like this. What's taka the chilk? Why is mefarik different than dosh? Mefarik is a toldo of dosh. Why is it when I separate the wheat very different than when I take the juice out of a grape? Or when I take the milk out of an animal? What's taka the difference? So he says, gevaldik. He says, v'nei achilik bein dosh to mefarik, the dosh, ein doichik hamashke meha oichel, v'rak shover haklipa. When you do dosh, you're not extracting the inside, you're breaking the peel. By breaking the peel, the parts become separated. Mefarik is extracting. You're trying to get out the content of the inside, you're trying to get out. Okay, he says, so if you understand that, this is going to explain the Gemara and Ksubas, which we'll come back to in a few minutes, that if it's Mifka Pocket, this means that's the way you understand where the blood is in a lady when she loses her psulim, then the blood is in it's absorbed, then Ein Disha Bulu Karka V'loi Ba'odam. Al-Mechaburi Michbar Havim Ein HaTolda Shemafark. Meaning his understanding is that there's a fundamental difference between what you're trying to accomplish. It's not just about getting things out. One is breaking, and one is extracting. That's the difference. So when it comes to the Av Malach is limited. When it comes to the Toldah is not limited. That's how he wants to explain the Shitas HaRambam, which means there's a fundamental difference between the two procedures. Although they're both under the same banner of Dash, they're fundamentally different between the two. One is extracting, while one is more like breaking and clearing out. Fine. We still didn't even get to what we need to get to yet. Now, based on what we're saying now, we have a little bit of a problem. The Kasha is, Frektim Ben Chaschinich, number 14, V'Koshali. The Gemara says in Shemoneh Shvatim that according to Rashi, why are you not allowed to cause chavala? Rashi said because it's sheichet. One second. If Rashi told me that every single time you milk an animal, that's a violation of dosh, so why shouldn't a wound be just like that? Why shouldn't it be that when you cause blood to come out, that should be just like milking? Rashi understood that every single time you cause blood to come out, that's going to be sheichet. Why didn't Rashi also say mefarik? Rashi told me that when I take the milk out of the animal, that's mefarik. So why is the blood out of the human not mefarik? It should be the same thing. He says, "Kiven the sviul de chaylev chayv mishem mefarik." If you hold that milking is mefarik, imkein chayvul nami. Why should chayvul also not be? That's the minchas kasha. Interesting kasha. Why is taking blood out of the human being and even taking the milk out of the human being, they both should fall under the gather of mefar? That's the kasha of the Menachas Chanuch.
That's
the Menachas Chanuch teretz. Says the Menachas Chanuch, not so fast. Says the Menachas Chanuch, no. Because if you hold like Rashi and Taisvis that we're being backed into a wall to explain like a Yehuda, so maybe Rashi wanted to do that. If Shlomi can Rashi custom twice, the Rashi pasuk can be Huda. Ule Rabbanan ain't a chayv, they ain't a gedula kaka. And can Rashi wrestle the farsha Mishnah after the Rabbanan? When Rashi comes to the 14th parak, he's explaining a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you chayv on an animal, you chayv. So Rashi has to ask himself, what's the reason? So Rashi says to himself, well, maybe it's because of mefarik. Rashi says to himself, 1 second, put back myself into a wall now. That's only if you hold that animals are considered, are not gedula karka. So Rashi says, let's scratch that, let's forget that. Let's just go with the accepted reason. So says the Menachas Chanuch, the reason why Rashi did not go with that pshat was because he didn't want to back himself into a wall when explaining the Mishnah. Okay. There's a Gemara in Ksubis number 15. Famous Gemara. The Gemara says, the Gemara wants to know, ma'ul yibol b'tchila b'shabbos. Is the person allowed to have beer rishayna on Friday night? That's the shayla of the Gemara. It's like Yalach Lamaisa as well. What's the shayla of the Gemara? Is it dam mifkat pocket? Is the dam somehow pocket? Oy chabure michbar. How do you look at the dam sulam? What's the structure of where the dam is in the isha? As if it makes a difference, it sounds like from the Gemara. What are the two tzadim, says Rashi? Mifkat pocket. Kimoy pikadin. Konus v'oymed. Somehow the blood is like it's like a pikadin, it's waiting. The einay nivla b'doifnei rechem. It's not exactly absorbed into the walls. Lios yitziyasa edei chabura. It's not like you broke through the skin to cause the blood to come out. The blood is somehow just waiting. Elo sha pesach no'o b'fano v'paisel v'yotza. Meaning, imagine you have a door, and there's water behind the door. So when you open the door, you're not really doing anything. You're just allowing, meaning the wall is preventing the blood from coming out. But you're not really causing the breakthrough to cause the blood to come out. Whatever that means. Oy chaburi michbar. No. Dam besulam ayetza idei chaburu huba. It's coming through a wound. You puncture it. You break it. Shadeif misparik michaverin. So the Gemara thinks to assume that if you go one way, then it's a problem. If you go the other way, it's not a problem. But the kash is, if you hold like the Rambam, that every single time you're causing bleeding, it has to do with mefarik. So why should this make a difference? Bishlama, if we're talking about the roles of Sheikhet, we're talking about Chabura. So you'll tell Mishnah Kotari that when I caused the blood to come out, I didn't really cause it because it was ready there anyways. But in the world of Mefarik, why should that matter? Mefarik means you're getting it out. Either way, I'm getting it out. Why should it make a difference? That's the kasha that the Achronim have on the Rambam.
No, it's not absorbed in it. Extracting means it's absorbed in something else.
Ah, so that's what he wanted to say. That's what he was saying before. That if you go back to our Shtikol Torah, that there's a fundamental difference between Mefarik and Dosh, so then it's Miyoshim, right? Then Achram. That's what Achronim said. Okay. Let's go back to the Rambam Shita for one more second.
And is that a distinction? Because you want the milk as opposed to the blood, you don't want it.
Yeah, that's the Gemara goes on later on to discuss. That's the next step of the Gemara. Do you want it or don't you want it? That's the follow-up in the Gemara.
I'm saying the milk.
Right, right.
There's a way for it to come out. Blood, you have to choose something to make it come out.
One more time, the blood.
Milking the udder is open.
That's right. You're still extracting some form of absorbed liquid from the outside. Right. That's the kasha that the Achronim have. But there's the kasha that I want to get to today is from the Magen Avos of Mordechai Bennett. Mordechai Bennett was the Rav of Nicholsburg. He was lived around the times of the Chassam Sofer. There's a Gavalika story with him. He died on a Friday in another town. He was traveling. He was in another town. And the Shaila was, where should they bury him? He was the Rav of Nicholsburg for so many years. They wanted to be buried in Nicholsburg. But it was Friday. So they decided to bury him in the town where he was away at. And then they sent the Shaila to the Chassam Sofer, should they take him out? Should they move his body? So it took the Chassam Sofer 3 months to respond. He said a story. Chassam Sofer said when he sat down originally to get the Shaila, so he sat down, he started writing it, and the ink spilled everywhere. So the Chassam Sofer was very into this, that this was a Simon HaShemayim, they shouldn't write this tshuva. There's another famous Chassam Sofer like that, that the Chassam Sofer thought that we could be makel to wait less than 6 hours between meat and milk if you go to sleep. There's such a svara like that in the Achareidim. Rabbi Yashiv even paskens that halachah l'maisa, but okay. So Chassam Sofer was so excited about it one day, he went to sleep, he woke up the next morning, he was preparing his coffee, and the mug fell out of his hand and shattered. So he said, it's a Simon HaShemayim, this is not the right psak, and he took back the psak. So the Chassam Sofer was, those who don't know about the Chassam Sofer, he was a very big kubal. He was very big in Chassidus and Kabbalah and Zaya. He was, although he was a yakka, he was very, very into these types of things. So he said, the story was, he sat down to write the letter, and the ink spilled everywhere. So he realized he's not supposed to write the letter. Then he came to him in a dream. The Maram Benet came to him in a dream. He said, no, I have to be here for 3 months because when I was younger, I was engaged to a girl from this town and I broke off the shidduch. And even though I had reasons for breaking off the shidduch, but I caused her a lot of pain. And I caused her, we were engaged for 3 months. So I had to be buried next to her in this town for 3 months. And after 3 months, my kapar was done. Now I can be moved back to Nicholsburg. So after 3 months, Chassam wrote the letter. He came back to Nicholsburg. So writes the story in the new book from the Chassam Sofer. So he died before the Chassam Sofer, but he was a great gadol, Reb Mordechai Benet. If you learn Shabbos with the Malachas, right? When a person learns Masechah Shabbos, there's two ways you can do it. You can learn the Gemara straight. When I was in yeshiva, at least two cycles when I was in yeshiva, we learned the Malachas. We just learned the 39 Malachas. We didn't get to all 39 of them, but we just learned the Malachas. If you learn the Malachas separately, so one of the great Svarim you learn is the Sefer from the Magen Avos, from Rav Mordechai Benet. He wrote a Geshmaka Sefer. Now it's becoming more popular. People are writing Svarim just on the Malachas. Rabbi Brown has a Sefer. Rabbi Brown from over here in Farakwa. He wrote a very nice Sefer, Lomdish Sefer on the Malachas Shabbos. Also used when you're learning the Malachas. But there's some other Svarim. It's a Geshmaka Limud. If you want to learn Lomdish and Halachas, so you learn just the 39 Malachas. You don't cover so much ground in the Gemara, but you get a good over-round background of the Malachas. So he has a Gevaldik Akasha. Frank Mordechai Benet, he says, first of all, according to the Rambam, you're going to have two problems. First of all, you're going to have to deal with the Magen Mishnah's Kasha, and Taisus's Kasha is, are human beings considered Gedulei Kar? Problem number one. Then he says, one second, we got a bigger problem. He says, the Lefiza Tzarech Leimer, the first line, he says, Kasha, the Lefiza Tzarech Leimer, the Gam Odom Shaykh Disha, or Mikri Gam King Gedulei Karka. First thing you're going to have to accept the notion is that a human being is considered Gedulei Karka. And the Imkain, a Kaitzis Saritzi Pirin, the Chayim Shem Kaitzir, give the Mikri Gam King Gedulei Karka. You're going to have to assume a human being is considered Gedulei Karka. For Oid Kasha, how much blood comes out of a mila? The Rambam said you have to take out enough blood of a gregarious. It's a dried fig. I hope a dried fig of blood does not come out when you do a ma'aseh mila. So he asks, so therefore, frekt remot chabinet, how are you ever going to be over? Again, what was the kasha? Why did the Torah have to write a pasuk to mila on Shabbos? The answer is, because if not, you would have been violating mafarik. No, you wouldn't have been, because you would have taken less than the amount. It wouldn't have been a problem anyways. So, Frekta Mordechai Benet, what's Pshat in the Rambam? So he answers, V'zei yesh lo yashiv, kivu the mitzvah lahatev dambris. He says, since there's a mitzvah to have blood come out, v'shamachi ein molin bo'idah yaruk. He thinks it's basically what we call achshiveh. Since I need the blood to come out, so even though it's not the shir, but I give it more chashivas to make it achshiveh. That's his teretz. Rabbi Asher Weiss writes that he thinks the kasha never gets off the ground. Why? Look at number 17. He says, if you read the Rambam carefully, you'll see that the Rambam doesn't say exactly those words. He says, Venira, the holiday be eaten shiyotzi kruga geres. When did the Rambam say you need to have a shir kruga geres? Hainu b'makim shetzaruchu ledam l'shimushoi. That's when you're getting the blood out because you want to use the blood. Kachoyvel, v'tzaruch l'chalboi. That's if you beat someone up because you want to give the blood to your dog. V'achoyle v'tzaruch l'chalboi, you milk someone. But let's say you don't need the thing you're taking out. So the only time the Rambam required a shear, that's when you want the thing you're taking out. Because that makes sense. Why? Because if I want the thing that I'm taking out, that has to be I'm doing a davar chashuv. If I don't want the thing that I'm taking out, therefore I don't need a shear. He says, "Ube'emes kach mistaver." That even makes sense. When do we talk about a shear gregaris? That's whenever something is about food. Dam is not edible. It's like another animal food. It goes based on each individual thing. The only time you find a gregarious is when you're talking about food, human food. So when did the Rambam say you have to have the shir kru gregarious? That's when you actually want to take the blood out because you want the blood. Then it needs to be a shir kru gregarious. Masha enkein. If you're stamaze doing the mila and you want to get a little bit of blood out, then there's no shir kru gregarious. But maybe that's not a kash. Very gishmak. Fine. Says Rabbi Asher Weiss, let's go a different route. Why don't we play the good old-fashioned card of chatzi shir osa mena teira? What's the kasha? The Rambam says you have to take out a gregarious in order to be in a violation. The kasha was that every mila is never a gregarious. So how could you tell me that the Torah needed to write a parasha of mila b'shabbos to permit it? Because if not for the exercise cost, if every mila would be a violation of dash, no, it wouldn't be. It would only be a half of the violation of dash. So you'll tell me chatzi shir osa min ha-Torah. So since chatzi shir osa min ha-Torah, it would have been also even to take out a little bit of blood, and it would still be a problem. So Rabbi Weiss writes, "V'lekulamim." Number 18 says, "V'lekulamim." But don't try to sell me the asa b'din chasi shir asa min ha-tayr. Don't try to suggest that the answer for the kash that we have on the Rambam is that the Rambam will tell you that it's chasi shir asa min ha-tayr. To chasi shir pluk the damaroyi because chasi shir is a machlokes amaroyim between Bi'ayich and Rish Lakish. Okay, so that shouldn't stop us. Okay, so we'll come back to that in a second, right? For oid, the chasi shir in baglav. Is another problem. Chatzishir, even if it's awesome in a Torah, it doesn't carry a lav. So what? If there's no lav, so you wouldn't have a problem of asay deichalais asay. I mean, why wouldn't I be able to do milah on Shabbos? Let's go back to the old discussion. Why don't you say asay deichalais asay? So tell me, no, but there's a lav. What lav would there be? Chatzishir is not a lav. So you'd be able to be deichal Shabbos just with the simple rules of asay deichalais asay. So back to the same question, says Rabbi Weiss. If you're going to tell me that Milo is going to be Asr and Shabbos due to the rules of Chatzi Shir, you'd still be able to permit Milo on Shabbos through the rule of Asay Doi Chalois Asay. Aye, Shabbos is a lav. Well, not Chatzi Shir. Chatzi Shir is not a lav. Now,
it's
just not a lav. It's Asr, but it's not an Asr. Right, some form of an Isr. Just not a, no Malkus to it. Now, there's a famous Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi has a gevaldik chiddush l'chol haTorah kulo in the world of Chatzi Shir, and he writes like this in number 19. He says, "Ulufi zeh b'chol shar isurei Torah kigan atoylish saar echad benazir oy b'Shabbos oy moitzi pachas mikashir ein by isur Torah klal." Zok the Chacham Tzvi, the din of Chatzi Shir, where Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are debating, they were not debating b'chol haTorah kulo. The din of Chatzi Shir is not wherever the Torah gives you a shir. If I do half of it, am I in a violation? It's not true. Why? Because they hold the time of the Chazil Tzerufi, the Chud Loi Mahani. It's not just because of Chazil Tzerufi. Everyone, when they talk about the Sugi of Chatzi Shir, they have in their mind, Chatzi Shir Asmin HaTorah. You know why? Because Chazil Tzerufi, because one could add up to two, and therefore it could be Asr. Says Chacham Tzvi, but if you look in the Gemara says the reason why it's Asr, because when the Torah said Loi Soichal, whenever it's a Machol Sasuris, and the Torah said don't eat, it even includes a lesser amount. The din of Chatzi Shir is only by Machol Sasuris, not by anything else. Mamish Argimara. The Chacham Tzvi says Mefurish. That when you're talking about Melacha Shabbos, let's say, for example, pulling out of here. So if Isser is pulling out two hairs, you pull out one hair, it's not Chatzi Shir. Chatzi Shir is only by eating. Macholos Asuris, with the Torah wrote Loi Soichal, the Torah said don't eat. Then if you ate less than the Shir, you're in a violation of Chatzi Shir. But Zakta Chacham Tzvi, when it comes to any other area, when it comes to Shabbos, when it comes to Nazir, then there is absolutely no din Chatzi Shir. So according to the Chacham Tzvi, it would answer up the Kasha. Chacham Tzvi will tell you that even if you hold Chatzi Shir as a min ha-Torah, even if Chatzi Shir had a lav, it's still not going to help you from Melech HaShabbos because Chatzi Shir is only said by Macholos Asuris.
Well, yeah, there's no Chazil Tzerufi over here. Whatever comes out, comes out. It's not going
to
be...
Well, you could take out more, in theory. You would be able to.
You're not
going to
do that.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't.
Kill the kid.
Right, probably too much. But do we assume like this Chacham Tzvi? This is a mechudish dik Chacham Tzvi. This is kedai to keep in mind whenever learning the sugi of Chatzi Shir. Everyone throws around this Chacham Tzvi is very unique. Now the problem is there's a lot of kashas on this Chacham Tzvi, mainly from Gemara. There's a Gemara in Shabbos daf Ayin Dalet Amar Aleph. The Gemara over there is talking about Beira, and the Gemara is describing the uniqueness of Beira, or what we call some of the kulas that Beira has. So the Gemara writes over there number 20. The Gemara says Beira meiniach pachas mikashir. That you're allowed to be bayir and leave if it's less than the shir. Ukishir lo yivra. But if it's the shir, the amount that you're not allowed to do bayir, then you're not allowed to do it. Then be ruchayiv chatas. A very interesting statement in the Gemara. If you're bayir less than the shir, so that's okay. If you're bayir the shir, that's not a problem. That's a problem. And if you're bayir regularly, chayiv chatas. So maskev lo Rabbi Yosef, v'chi moto le'efo is pochas mikishir. Fred Rabbi Yosef says the new heter, you're allowed to do malachas less than the shir. Well, why are you allowed to be bayir less than this year? Would you be allowed to bake less than this year? Now, what is the assumption of this kasha? This sounds like Chatzi Shir, Asur Min HaTorah. Rabbi Yosef responds seems to be saying, well, you built up this new concept. Then when it comes to the malach of bayir, you're allowed to do it pachas mishir. Fred Rabbi Yosef, so can I do bishul pachas mishir also? So Poshet reading the Gemara, his response back is that there's a violation called Chatzi Shir. Now, is that violation deraisa or derabanan? That you don't see from the Gemara. You could have learned the Gemara that Rabbi Yosef's response back was, it's also Chach the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan will never allow you to do Pachas Mashir. Not the Chatzi Shir Asa Min HaTorah. Maybe in Echanami, there is no Chatzi Shir Asa Min HaTorah when it comes to Melech HaShabbos, like the Chacham Tzvi. What the Gemara over here is saying is that the Rabbanan won't let you do it. That's fine until Rashi comes along. Zog Rashi number 20, where did I put it? 21. Yeah, Rashi. Nihi dechiev chatz leka, esura miyo ikka. Meaning, ein achanami. If you're going to do less than the shear, there's not going to be a chiv chadis, but there'll still be a nisr. The kaim belon chatzi shear osu minat Torah. So Rashi gives it away. Rashi learns that Rabbi Yosef's kasha was chatzi shear osu minat Torah. And what are we talking about over there? That's Melech HaShabbos. So clearly this Rashi is connected to Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi said when it comes to Melech HaShabbos, there's no din chatzi shear. According to Rashi, clearly. So Rabbi Shteinman speaks out that the Gemara is not a kasha on the Chacham Tzvi. Rashi is a kasha on the Chacham Tzvi. The Gemara you could have learned, like we just mentioned. The Gemara is saying not that it's chatzi shear osu minat Torah. The Gemara is saying the Rabbanan didn't let you do it. But Rashi is clear as can be. Rashi says it's also because of chatzi shear. There's a Rashbam in Baba Basra. I think it's somewhere in the Nuns. I don't remember now. Where the Rashbam writes at number 22. But Masech Shabbos Tanan, we learned in Shabbos, Hamoitzi Oichlin Chayv Begregeres. If a person is Moitzi Mirshos food, he's Chayv Begregeres. The Beshabbos Melechas Machshavos Osra Torah. Because when it comes to Shabbos, we have this magical concept called Melechas Machshavos. Voloi Chashiva Hoitzos Dover Choshev Pachos Mikregeres. And if it's less than a Gregeres, it's not Choshev. What happened to Chatzi Sheh? What do you mean it's not Choshev? So what? It's Chatzi Sheh. So this Rashbam, the Achreinim HaMadayik, it seems like from this Rashbam the Vayter, we don't buy into Chatzi Sheh. Because, as we'll see, Chatzi Sheh might be what we call Chatzi Melocha. It's not a violation. Chatzi Sheh by Machal Sassuris, maybe. But when it comes to Shabbos, Hoitzah, Ksiva, that a person writes one letter instead of two letters, that might be what we call a Chatzi Melocha.
But that might be the same as Chatzi Sheh.
It might not be the same, right?
I mean,
Chatzi Shir
is I did a
malacha,
but not enough of the
malacha. That's right.
Here,
exactly right. So perhaps what the Chacham Tzvi will tell you is that everything except for Machalas Asuris, I just did half of the Yisr. I mean, not qualitative-wise. I just didn't do the Yisr. I'm still waiting for the other part to complete doing the Yisr. So that seems to be a Machalikis Rishonim. Now, again, this is all fine and dandy, but what does the Rambam hold? We're all trying to get back to the Rambam. You could tell me what Rashi holds in the Shabbos and what Rashi holds. That's all. But what was the Rambam? The kasha was on the Rambam. The Rambam told me that in order to violate Chavola, it needs to be Dam Ki Gregeris. The kasha was Dam Ki Gregeris never comes out of the Bris Mila. How are you ever over on the right alone? So the answer was Chatzi Sheh. Does the Rambam hold Chatzi Sheh? What's the Rambam Shita? So Rabbi Asher Weiss was saying you can't say Chatzi Sheh because of other reasons. Okay. But I want to know, does the Rambam hold like this Chacham Tzvi? Or does the Rambam hold like Rashi? If the Rambam holds like the Chacham Tzvi, then the answer is Poshet. There's no Chatzi Sheh because the Rambam holder is no Chatzi Sheh when it comes to Melech HaShabbos.
Chatzi Sheh doesn't mean literally, yeah. It means every portion.
Means, right, any portion of the original amount. So let's see what's the Rambam Shita. So if you look at number 24, okay, the Mishnah Berurah over here in number 23 just points out, Halach Lamaisa, the Mishnah Berurah passes Chatzi Sheh Osa Menat Torah on all Melech HaShabbos. Mishnah Berurah does not pass like the Chacham Tzvi. He mentions it in the Ber Halach and he rejects it. Okay, fine. That's just halach l'maisa. But what about the Rambam? Because the Rambam is going to decide the whole sugya for us. We're trying to figure out pshat in the Rambam. So let's read the Rambam number 24. Zok the Rambam. Perek yud ches halach Shabbos. Hamoitzi chatzi shir. If a person were to carry chatzi shir, potter. He's potter. What does potter mean? Potter avalasa. Right? That's the Rambam's rule. V'cheino kol ha'oisim melocha min ha'melochas chatzi shir. Anyone who does any of the melochas in a chatzi shir version, potter. It's potter. Now here's the question. Does potter mean potter aval aser, no chiv chatos? Or potter aval aser means, yes, potter aval aser, no chiv chatos, but still an isser deraisa? Potter just might mean on the carbon. Doesn't mean that you're exempt from the level of a deraisa. The reason why I'm bringing this out is because the Mishnah Berurah and the Ber Halacha and some Shin Mem is convinced the Rambam Shita is chati she osam in a Torah by all Melech HaShabbos. Which is beautiful for our sugya, right? That works it very nicely, right? The question is, how can that be? How could the Rambam hold that Chatzi Sheh is awesome in a Torah for everything? If the Rambam holds like that, so let's go back to our original question. We had a kash on the Rambam that if it's pachas mikra, if it's every meal is less than a gregeres, so why are you ever going to be a violation? So we answered, maybe it's Chatzi Sheh. We said, well, Chatzi Sheh, who says Chatzi Sheh is awesome? The answer is the Rambam Shita is Chatzi Sheh is awesome in a Torah. But is that so posh?
It doesn't seem fair then. If for a shear itself, I get the opportunity to give a chatas and to wipe it away.
Matt, that's right. Comes, that's right. There's no kapara. But look at the Rambam in number 25. This is the Rambam Perek Aleph. So look at the Rambam. When we call Mokim Shenema Sha'oise Dov is a potter, whenever the Rambam says in all of Hilchot Shabbos something is potter, I raise a potter, min akaris, min askilo, min akarbon. I will also last is Oise Dov in Shabbos. You're not allowed to do it. The Isuroi Medivrei Seifrim. And it's Isuroi Medivrei Seifrim. Now, one second. What does Medivrei Seifrim mean? If Medivrei Seifrim means only Dirabonon, which means Midiraisa, it's okay. So then it means Chatzi Sheh is not also Midiraisa. Because the Rambam was lost about Chatzi Sheh. The Rambam said Chatzi Sheh is Potter. If every potter means potter both deraisa and all level of asurim, so then we're back to square one. The Rambam can't hold chatzis she'asim in a Torah. But if midivei seifim somehow is going to mean deraisa, so then the Rambam is gishmak. Says the Be'alocha in the last number 26, that's pshat in the Rambam. The Be'alocha thinks that the Rambam means that chatzis she'asim is awesome in a Torah. When the Rambam wrote potter, he just meant potter from iser, potter from kares, and potter from carbon. But part from carbon and part from carbs. But it's surai, it's a deraisa. So everything is beautiful now. The Rambam sheet is chatzishir is awesome in a Torah. Therefore, pachas mikre geris will still be chatzishir, and therefore it would still be awesome either way, and that's why the Rambam needs exeris hakasif.
You know, is it an isser shabbos or is it isser chatzishir? I mean, not going to be a yomumar.
Yeah, in a chalam, that would be a negay. That would be a potential nafkamin. So therefore, according to this Ber Halacha, everything is beautiful in the Rambam. The Rambam is now gishmak. According to the Rambam, even though I'm moitzi pachas mikre geris of dam, it's still Chatzishir, and the Rambam Sheet is Chatzishir is also Menater. But in the next week, we'll see that this is all fine and dandy until we get to a Gemara in the end of the 19th parak, which makes everything complicated, according to most of the Rishonim who learned the Isser of Dam. And Blineda will move on next week to talk about Milo Bizmani versus Milo Shaloi Bizmani.